You're tuned to CKUW 95.9.
Programmed by Visionary Volunteers, this is CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
Support for CKUW is provided by the West End Cultural Center, your friendly local arts nonprofit. Community is important to us. Did you know the WEC offers free drop-in music lessons in partnership with the Manitoba Conservatory of Music and Arts? The tune-in program runs Tuesdays at the West End Cultural Center, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. for youth ages 12 to 18.
What do you read, my lord?
Words. Words. Words.
Good morning, I'm Susan Hubert, and this is Bookworm on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, the show where I talk mainly about books that I have reviewed, I interview authors, and sometimes just talk about the books. But either way, this is a chance for you to find out more about what's available in the book world.
Good morning, and welcome to the show for Tuesday, December 16th, 2025. And before we begin, I should mention that it's Beethoven's birthday today. He was born in 1770 in Bonn, Germany. And I guess he was baptized on December 17th, so experts don't actually know for sure that he was born on the 16th, but it was a custom to baptize babies the day after they were born, so it's likely that his birthday was December 16th. As any fans of Peanuts would probably know, Peanuts cartoon or comic strip. So I hope you'll enjoy the show today. I have two books that I'd like to talk about again, and then a little bit of music to play, Beethoven in honor of the day. But I'll start with national news. So according to CTV, three children between the ages of 5 and 9 in the Ottawa area have recently died from complications of the flu, according to a statement released yesterday by Ottawa Public Health. Although people die from the flu every year, officials are warning the public of an early and severe flu season. According to the Public Health Agency of Canada, the rate of infection rose from 8.3% in November to 20.2% 2 weeks later. Then in international news, Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese issued a statement yesterday on Sunday's fatal shooting at Bondi Beach, saying that the attack appears to have been motivated by what he termed Islamic State ideology. 15 people, including a 10-year-old girl and a Holocaust survivor, were killed at a Hanukkah event at the beach, and another 10 were injured, some critically. The older attacker died at the scene, but the younger one is currently in hospital. So that's the news for today. And now in weather, according to the weather from the Winnipeg Richardson International Airport, it's currently 2 degrees above zero and is mainly clear. And for Tuesday, December 16th, the forecast is 3 degrees with a 60% chance of flurries or rain showers. And then tonight, minus 13 degrees and partly cloudy. Then for Wednesday, December 17th, minus 4 degrees with snow at times heavy. So some snow, and some of it might be quite heavy. Then overnight, minus 19 degrees with snow and blowing snow. For Thursday, December 18th, minus 20 degrees and sunny. Then overnight, minus 24 degrees and clear. For Friday, December 19th, minus 14 degrees with snow, and overnight minus 17 degrees with periods of snow. Then for Saturday, December 20th, minus 16 degrees and sunny, then overnight minus 26 degrees and clear. So that's the weather, and now for some events. It's time for CQW's event guide. From concert and club listings to community announcements, we help you keep in touch with what's going on in Winnipeg. So for the first one, for people who are interested in skating, there's the Stars on Ice 2026 Tour. And that will celebrate Canadian Olympic figure skating at Canada Life Centre on May 6th. Canada's top Olympic hopefuls join icon Elvis Stoico for a must-see tour directed by Kurt Browning. Tickets have been on sale for a while now, They were on sale by Friday, November 21st at 10 a.m. And so the event won't be happening until next year, May 6th. But if you want to get tickets, it's probably about time to check on that. And then something local, a Christmas carol reading with Richard Hurst and Ron Robinson. Ron Robinson has been a longtime volunteer here. So for Richard Hurst, the evenings are December 17, 20, and 21. So that's tomorrow and then the 20th and 21st at 7:30 p.m. And then for Ron Robinson, it's December 18th, 19th, and 21st at 7:30 p.m. And there's a 1 p.m. show on the 21st as well. The pricing for the... So that's 7:30 p.m. for the evenings and matinee at 1 p.m. The pricing is evenings $30 general, $25 for members, and the matinee $60 for adults and $55 for members, children $55 and $55 for member adults and $50 for member child. I guess a member of Dalnevert. So it says, get into the Christmas spirit this December with Christmas readings at Dalnevert. This year, two very accomplished gentlemen will join us as hosts. Ron Robinson, as I mentioned, a longtime friend of Dalnevert and beloved radio host. And then Winnipeg musician James Hickson, Hickerson, will accompany Ron on guitar for these readings. And then actor Richard Hurst, a mainstay of Winnipeg's theater scene, will perform the other evenings. So that's A Christmas Carol readings with Richard Hurst and Ron Robinson, and that's at Dalnevert, and starting tomorrow and going until the 21st. So evenings at 7:30, or the matinee is at 1 p.m. on the 21st. So those are a few of the events listed in the guide. If you'd like to have your event listed as well, please drop by CQUW, email us at cqw@uwinnipeg.ca, or call 204-786-9782. So as I mentioned, I have two books to talk about, as usual, today. And the first, I thought with Beethoven's birthday, it might be a good idea to talk about something to do with Germany. So this is called Our Little Farm, Adventures in Sustainable Living by Peter and Miriam Wohleben. That's Wohleben, and is translated by Jane Billinghurst. It's Greystone Books and is 215 pages. So here's my review. Many people dream about leaving their old lives behind to begin something entirely new, especially when the project has a larger purpose. In Our Little Farm, Adventures in Sustainable Living, Peter and Miriam Wohleben describe their experiment in living sustainably, with both successes and failures as they discovered new ways of reducing their impact on the environment. Our Little Farm relates the lessons that Peter and Miriam Wohleben learned during the decades that they spent attempting to live sustainably. For the Wohleben family, as the authors state, this experiment was never intended as a complete change of lifestyle, but rather an attempt to add only the sustainable practices that were manageable for the family. So if they needed something from the store, they would go buy it, but they tried as much as possible to live sustainably and to grow their own vegetables and basically to live off the land. This book is less of a day-by-day account of this adventure than a description of the overall project and the conclusions that the Wohlebens reached. Among the topics that the authors discuss are the calculations necessary for raising goats, in terms of the amount of land needed, the usefulness of goat's milk and hair, and how these animals fit with the family's overall goal. Deciding what to consider staple foods, learning how to keep bees, choosing the right vegetables and fruits for the climate, and maintaining enjoyment of the project are some of the aspects that the authors discuss. And some of the things that they discuss might not really appeal to people who are interested in a general sense, but if you're considering even minor project in sustainable living, this might be something for you to consider. Of course, the climate is different in Germany than it is here, but still there would be some things that you could learn from it. Our little farm, Adventures in Sustainable Living, includes few personal anecdotes, but it's rather an overview of the techniques that the authors discovered over the years. Casual readers looking for an inspiring story of sustainable living might be disappointed by the very limited discussion of daily challenges, such as learning a new routine to care for animals or the struggles of relieving a monotonous diet if one crop flourishes while another fails. The book contains little of this type of day-to-day storytelling, although the authors touch briefly on some of these topics. And on the other hand, they spend quite a long time on various things that some readers might not find very interesting, like talking about parsnips. And I don't mind parsnips, but a whole chapter on them is a little bit much, or a whole section. But it's still good to know what the challenges are of living sustainably. For people thinking of starting their own experiments into sustainable living, however, the book could provide some valuable insights. Although the experiment took place in Germany, as I mentioned, where the climate and soil are different from Canada's, the principles behind sustainable living are similar wherever people live. Concepts of mindfulness and an appreciation of nature apply everywhere, and readers can use the ideas from the book to translate it into ideas for their own situations. So if the soil isn't good for parsnips, but it's good for something else, for rutabagas or whatever, readers can translate it into that. Despite several technical sections, like calculations for raising goats, Our Little Farm is quite an easy book to read, smoothly translated from the original German. Recipes scattered throughout the text help to make the book practical, although North American readers will need to convert the European-style measurements to something that they are able to use, since in Europe they don't measure by cups or tablespoons or things like that. It's mostly in weights that they use, so a certain number of grams. Overall, one of the main benefits of this book is that it shows that sustainable living, at least at a certain level, is a real possibility for people who are willing to work at it. For many readers, Our Little Farm, Adventures in Sustainable Living could be a good choice for helping to inspire changes in their lives. And a bit of a biography. Peter Wohlleben, or Peter Wohlleben, worked for many years as a forester before beginning to write for a living. He's the author of several books, including The Hidden Life of Trees, and several other best-selling books on the natural world. He manages a sustainable forest and runs the Wohlleben Forest Academy from his home in the Eifel Mountains of Germany. Miriam Wohlleben manages the back office at that location, using her background as an industrial clerk to help her in this task. She grew up in the city, but is now dedicated to country living. So if you're interested in just reading about how people can live sustainably or getting inspired for your own sustainable living project, this might be a book to consider. So that's Our Little Farm, Adventures in Sustainable Living by Peter and Miriam Wohlleben. And that's Wohlleben. And so I hope you'll pick up a copy of that or borrow a copy, and then you'll have something interesting to read. And now, as I mentioned, it's Beethoven's birthday today, so maybe I'll play a piece by Beethoven, if I can get it going. And this is the Moonlight Sonata, and this is from an album called The Super Concert. So enjoy this, Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. So that was the Moonlight Sonata by Ludwig van Beethoven. And I played that in honor of his birthday, which is today. Or at least presumably today, as far as people know. So before the break, I was talking about a book about sustainable living by Peter and Miriam Volleben. And now I have something completely different to talk about. This is a book called Try Not to Be Strange, The Curious History of the Kingdom of Redonda by Michael Hingston. It's published by Biblioasis and is 355 pages. And that might seem like a lot, but I at least found it very funny and very entertaining and very quick to read in many ways. So here's my review. When writers and publishers become creative, the results can be unexpected. In Try Not to Be Strange, The Curious History of the Kingdom of Redonda, Michael Hingston traces the story of one of the strangest kingdoms in the world, one without subjects but only kings and other officials. Try Not to Be Strange is a fascinating look at the author's investigation into a unique micronation. In Try Not to Be Strange, Michael Hingston examines what appears to be an elaborate joke, a kingdom with no inhabitants except for goats, rats, and birds, a monarchy where succession can be announced by mail or email, and a population that's composed entirely of writers and publishers. Some of the features he highlights are a national flag made of old pajamas and a peerage including the publisher Alfred A. Knopf and authors Dorothy L. Sayers and Dylan Thomas. By the way, Dorothy Sayers is the author of the mystery stories with Lord Peter Wimsey. Although Hingston gives extensive information about the kingdom and its monarchs, the book is more of a personal essay describing the author's research rather than a history of the kingdom of Redonda. And by the way, Redonda is an island in the Caribbean. His investigation into Redonda began when he bought a book by Spanish novelist Javier Marías, which tells the story of John Gosworth, one of the kings of the Micro Kingdom. This discovery prompted the author to embark on a quest to learn more about Redonda's history, including kings, courtiers, and others involved in perpetuating the story. The title of the book, coming from a piece of advice that the first king received from his father in 1880, is perhaps a hint of what the conclusion will be. Searching for and examining the documents related to Redonda gave Hingston a chance to build up a picture of the island, including the natural flora and fauna, as well as the decaying remnants of the Redonda Phosphate Company, which once operated there. His investigation also includes a discussion of the works of Edgar Allan Poe, Oscar Wilde, and the decadence movement in literature and society that influenced writers of the era, including the kings and other officials in the Kingdom of Redonda. Besides this literary background information, Michael Hingston gives extensive accounts of the writings of some of the people involved in the kingdom. For example, a description of the works of M.P. Scheel, S-H-I-E-L, otherwise known as Felipe I of Redonda, form a significant section of the book. Photographs of the people and places, along with pictures of official Redondan documents, help to illustrate the story and to give readers a sense of the range of people involved in the kingdom. The author describes the Redondan monarchy as a joke comprised of lies, exaggerations, and misdirection, the product of people whose careers are based on creating stories to entertain the public. Some of the photographs also help to illustrate the point, such as a picture of King Christopher holding a scepter, which doubles as a device for cleaning weeds and barnacles off the bottom of boats. Humor, a conversational style, and an obscure but interesting subject help to keep much of the book engaging, if somewhat strange. Although some of the sections of the book might tend to distract readers from the main story, the book is an entertaining and informative volume that many people could enjoy. And so for a little biography, Michael Hingston is a journalist whose articles have appeared in National Geographic, The Washington Post, and Wired. His books include Let's Go Exploring and The Dilettantes. Currently, he lives with his partner and two children in Edmonton, Alberta. Or at least as of the writing of this review, he was living there. So that's Try Not to Be Strange, The Curious History of the Kingdom of Redonda by Michael Hingston. And that's Biblioasis, and it's 355 pages. But for me, at least, the number of pages wasn't a factor, since I got through it very quickly. It was a very interesting book. And I like kind of quirky things, and this was definitely quirky. As I mentioned, there are no subjects in the kingdom other than goats, if you count them. But it's something that people might want to read about if they like to hear about unusual events in history and the people who come up with ways of entertaining others and finding ways to use what's there, since there was this island of Redonda, which I think is near, well, it's in the Caribbean, I think near Trinidad or around that area. And so it had been used as a phosphate company, which I guess the phosphate comes from bird droppings, and so then it was profitable for a while, but then when it no longer became profitable, the owners of the company abandoned it and left the island completely uninhabited other than the animals. So that's, if you'd like to read about that, that's Try Not to Be Strange, The Curious History of the Kingdom of Redonda by Michael Hingston. And the other book about sustainable living is Our Little Farm, Adventures in Sustainable Living by Peter and Miriam Volleben, and is translated by Jane Billinghurst. So we're coming to the end of the show for today, but I hope you stay tuned for Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. And so thanks for listening, and have a great week.
What do you read, my lord?
Words. Words.
Words.
This is the end of Bookworm on CQW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg for today, and I hope that you have been inspired to pick up a new book to read. Be sure to tune in next week for more discussions about books, and thanks for listening.
Do you hear that? It's a wood thrush. Songbirds lift our hearts, bring us joy, support healthy environments, and connect us with nature. Sadly, due to free-roaming cats, collisions with buildings, and habitat loss, over a quarter of Canada's birds have disappeared. It's heartbreaking. With your help, Nature Canada has mobilized thousands of Canadians for more than 85 years to protect and celebrate birds. To find out how you can save bird lives, go to birds.naturecanada.ca.
Hi, my name's Joan Reno. I'm the host of Sunny Road, every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11. From a dimly lit juke joint to a country field and everything in between, meet me on the Sunny Road.
It's time, meet me on the Sunny Road.
Support for CKW is provided by Organic Planet, Winnipeg's only worker-owned organic grocery and vegan deli, located at 877 Westminster Avenue, serving Wolseley and Winnipeg for over 30 years.
You're tuned to CKUW 95.9 FM, Winnipeg Radio, made possible by generous listener support.